could I forget His mercy? He satisfies, He satisfies, He satisfies my needs now.
Think of that His love, think of that His goodness, think of that His grace.
Oh. This time we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. Y'all come on around this way. Well, you sit right there, okay? All right. Y'all want to come around this way? Y'all come on over here. How are you all doing this morning? Good. Annabella had the bag this week, right? And what were the three rules? Can't be alive. Can't used to be alive. And if I don't know what it is, you have to tell me what it is, right? All right, so let's see what we got. Oh. We've got all the Disney princesses. Is that right? Oh, my goodness gracious. And then what's his name again? Olaf. We've got the Disney princesses and Olaf. Do you like Disney movies? I do, too. Olaf is funny. He's almost as funny as I am. So we've got all these Disney princesses. What's the one thing they all have in common? Well, they all go on adventures, don't they? Don't they all have different adventures, right? And there's different situations that they get themselves into. And sometimes we get ourselves into different situations, don't we? And sometimes we find ourselves in trouble, maybe. Maybe we did something we weren't supposed to, or maybe something happened and we got in trouble, right? And what happens at the end of every Disney princess movie? Do they live happily ever after? Do they live in a big castle? Yeah? Well, we have the promise that after this life is over, we get to live in a big castle, right? And live happily ever after with God. Yes, we go by the big the Jefferson Davis Monument's another word for that. Yes. The castle's a little more grand than that. But yes, we get to live. Yes, absolutely we do. Now you have us that not right now. Yeah, now Joel, you've opened the floodgates. So we have all kinds of adventures and we know that we will live happily ever after one day with God, right? And we are so excited about that and we get to live in the mansion that he's preparing for us, and we get to live happily ever after. And so thank you for bringing these. Who do you want to have the bag next week? Well, you get to pick somebody that hasn't had it yet. Is there anybody that hasn't had the bag yet that would like the bag? We've got a few over here and one behind you. Who do you want to have the bag? You going to make them fight for it? Who do you want to? We've got a couple people over here and a couple people behind you. Who do you want to have it? You can give it to whoever you want to have it. All right, Elizabeth has it. All right, so next week, remember, can't be alive, can't used to be alive. If I don't know what it is, you have to tell me what it is, all right? All right, let's pray, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day that you've given to us, Lord. We thank you for the adventure of life and the opportunities we have each and every day to live that adventure. We pray that you would continue to remind us of the happily ever after that awaits us one day with you. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. We thank you for these children, for what they have to teach us and what we have the opportunity to teach them. We pray that they would continue to grow into the men and women you have called them to be, and we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you guys can go to children's church. You go with her, all right? I don't know what we're going to do with that pastor's kid.
Reading from Luke 13:10 through 17. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. A woman was there who had been disabled by the Spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and couldn't stand up straight. And when he saw her, Jesus called her to him and said, "Woman, you are set free from your sickness." He placed his hands on her, and she straightened up at once and praised God. The synagogue leader was angry that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, responded, "There are 6 days during which work is permitted. Come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath day." And the Lord replied, "Hypocrites, don't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from its stall and lead it out to drink? Then isn't it necessary that this woman, a daughter of Abraham, bound by Satan for 18 long years, be set free from her bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said these things, all his opponents were put to shame, but all those in the crowd rejoiced at all the extraordinary things he was doing. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day that you have given to us, for the opportunity again to be in your house, to be surrounded by our brothers and sisters in Christ. We give you thanks and praise. We thank you for the hearing and the reading of this, your word. We pray that you would be with the words you have given me to speak. May they be your words and not my words, and may they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to comprehend. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call to obedience. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all of these things again in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know about you, but for me, a lot of times it's very easy for me to get bent out of shape. Has anyone here ever been bent out of shape before, a couple times? Now, I only really get bent out of shape, don't ask Abby this, I'm telling you right now, I only really get bent out of shape when something is beyond my control. When something happens that I haven't planned for, or I'm not prepared for, or I'm not ready for. You can ask Abby this, but I'm pretty selfish, and it's apparent every time something doesn't go my way. I want us to consider this morning the last time we got bent out of shape about something. For me, it's very easy. We went to my parents' house this weekend, and traveling always kind of gets me bent out of shape. I have my itinerary. We're supposed to leave at this time. We're supposed to arrive at this time. And I still haven't factored in the infant to all of that. I haven't factored in all of the other things that we need to do. I haven't factored in all the space that's needed to pack all of the wonderful things that we need just in case. She cries. Traveling gets me bent out of shape, and I'm sure there are many other things that get you bent out of shape as well. And as you're thinking about the last thing that maybe got you bent out of shape, I want to ask you this morning, was it something that mattered? Really? Or was it just a showcase of your selfishness? A showcase of what you wanted to have happen? And that's a hard question for us to ask this morning, because most of the time, when we're bent out of shape, while we're bent out of shape, it's very important. It's all that matters. I think our need to control everything often leaves us bent out of shape. We like to control things. We want to make sure everything is going the way that it's supposed to go. We're doing the things we're supposed to be doing. And when we get bent out of shape, it always isolates us, doesn't it? It isolates us from other people, because if nothing else, these other people are what's keeping everything I've got nice and neat and orderly going into chaos. And so I get bent out of shape, and everyone is the enemy. Everyone is against me. Everyone is to blame but me. The synagogue leader, the woman that we hear of today, are both bent out of shape. One physically, the other one emotionally. One manifests that in a very real way. The other one manifests it in a hidden way. Both of these people are isolated, right? This woman is one of those untouchables, one of those that nobody goes near because she has this malady, this thing going on, so she would be considered unclean. The fact that she's in the synagogue at all is problematic. This synagogue leader is isolated because he thinks he's right. He thinks his understanding of how things should go is all that matters. And so both are bent out of shape. Both are isolated. And I think if we're honest with ourselves this morning, truly honest with ourselves, this miracle and some of the other miracles that Jesus does cause us to get a little bent out of shape too. They anger us in one form or another. We may not verbalize it, we may not say it, but it bothers us, some of the healings and some of the miraculous things Jesus does. And the first reason it bothers us is because why isn't he doing that now? Right? Why isn't Jesus doing this now? I've got issues. I've got things that I've been struggling with. Why isn't he taking care of this? We often want to control Jesus, don't we? Jesus, I need you to do this for me. I need you to do that. I wouldn't ask, but it's important to me. Jesus refuses to play by our rules. Jesus is constantly, I think, bending us out of shape. I think sometimes he does it just because it's funny, just because he gets a laugh. Watch this guy. Watch him squeal a little bit. But the rest of the time, he's trying to mold us into the shape, the image that he has created us to be initially. He's not bending us out of shape. He's bending us into the proper shape that we're supposed to be in. And I ask us this morning, will we allow him to do that? That's a tough one. In the middle of this teaching that Jesus is doing, in the middle of his respectable sermon, he stops what he's doing. He sees this lady in need, and he offers healing to her. That's a little crazy. That wasn't in the bulletin, Jesus. You can't do that. Did you ask the church council if you could do that? Did you get the proper approval from the proper people? He does two things, Jesus does, in this healing, in and of itself, in verse 12, that cause the synagogue leader and probably others to get a little bent out of shape. Here are the things he does. He first, when he sees her, he declares this healing. Woman, you are set free from your sickness. As when God declared the Sabbath day holy, so we remember he declared all of his creation good. And when Jesus declares this, he's declaring much like he declared at creation. Let there be light. Let this person be healed. And in so doing, he brings her out of isolation. Now people are seeing this person who they wanted to ignore. Sometimes we see people and we get all bent out of shape, don't we? And so we try to ignore them. We try to look the other way. But Jesus doesn't allow us to do that. He puts this lady right there front and center for everyone to see. This woman is seen and she is addressed. And that's a big deal. That certainly is a big deal for her because it's probably been a long time since she has been seen and since someone has spoken to her instead of about her. The second thing he does after he declares this healing is he places his hands on her. He lays hands on her. He touches she who is unclean. And Jesus does this quite a bit. He's always touching people. He's always ministering to them. He's always breaking through those boundaries. And again, it causes us to get a little bent out of shape. Any germophobes in here? Anybody kind of, don't touch that. I'm going to touch it. Anyone get a little weirded out when we have communion by intinction? They're grabbing the bread. What are they doing? They're dipping it. Their fingertips are getting in there. Oh. I've never known anyone to get sick taking communion. And if it happens, we'll try to heal you. I promise. We get bent out of shape with this kind of stuff. And here Jesus lays hands on her. This teacher, this preacher is becoming unclean in the sight of everybody. As when God formed Adam and Eve, so now he's reforming this woman. He's bending her back into the shape that he initially created her to be in. By laying hands on her, he bends her back into shape, and she stands up straight, and we see that she glorifies God in verse 13. And even this glorious miracle bends people out of shape. We've seen a few reasons, but there's a big reason why the synagogue leader gets upset this morning. There's a big reason why those appropriate churchgoers get upset when Jesus does this. And the main issue here is the legalistic understanding of the Sabbath. There are 6 days for you to come and be healed. Why are you doing this work on the Sabbath? It doesn't seem like Jesus was doing anything extraordinary, right? He just goes and lays hands on her. He declares this. He's already been declaring something as he's teaching in the synagogue. There are 6 days to do this. Why are you doing it now? And if we're honest with ourselves, this legalistic understanding of the Sabbath still kind of sits on us today, right? Can't believe. I've heard it countless times. The country's gone downhill ever since stores started opening on Sunday. I don't have the heart to tell these people complaining about this that the Sabbath is on Saturday and not on Sunday. There are 6 days you can make money. Why would you be open on Sunday? Well, it's so we have a place to go to eat after church. We don't want them to close because then we got to cook ourselves. It's a perpetual cycle we find ourselves in. We still can be too legalistic about the Sabbath, can't we? And what we've done when we become legalistic about the Sabbath is we're causing it to be something that binds us rather than something that sets us free. We're putting these rules and stipulations on ourselves that don't need to be there. They don't need to be present. We're making life harder on ourselves than we have to. There's some 600 some odd laws that God gives Moses on Mount Sinai. And the synagogue leader and the others have added exponentially to that. So they're trying to keep up with everything. And it becomes something that's impossible for anyone to do. And everyone's getting all bent out of shape about this, that, and the other. When thinking about the Sabbath, when we think about the Sabbath day and what that means, we often urge people to rest because God crowned that day as holy, right? And we remember back to Genesis 2. God made the Sabbath and he made it a holy day of rest. And unfortunately, as we think about that, as we dwell on that, as we try to make that a practical reality in our lives, what we've done is we've bound ourselves and we've isolated ourselves. I'm not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. I'm going to go home, I'm going to close the door. I'm not going to worry about anything. I'm not going to do anything. And if I do something, I'm going to get in trouble. God might smite me if I do something on this day. And we've really narrowed ourselves down and really painted ourselves in a corner. Anyone painted herself into a corner, really? I never have. I don't paint, but anybody that does. Paint yourself in a corner. You got nowhere to go. And this rest becomes a chore. Right? It becomes one more thing to do. Jesus' rebuke of this understanding of the Sabbath, however, emphasizing keeping this day holy in recognition of Israel's deliverance from slavery in Egypt. And he cites here from Deuteronomy chapter 5. And so we have our understanding of Jesus, or God, both, if they're the same, making this day holy in Genesis. But we pair that then with what we see in Deuteronomy, which this is a day of celebration, a day that Israel has been set free from bondage. Set free from Israel or from Egypt, set free from those who seek to confine them and hold them. And it becomes a day of celebration that we are free. And we are free in Christ. Sabbath isn't a day of rest from the week that we've just had. It's a day of celebration and preparation for the week ahead. you know what the longest command is of the ten? I'll give you a guess. It starts with Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It's the longest commandment, and it almost is longer than all of the other commandments combined. And he goes into this list of what it means to keep the Sabbath and what it means to be free and what it means to love God and love others. The Ten Commandments are broken into two parts. The first three are about loving God. The last six are about loving others. Then we have this commandment of the Sabbath there in the middle that kind of segues us and shows us about how we're to love God and to love others. And often when we talk about the Sabbath, we only talk about loving God. And we don't bring into the equation the opportunity to love others, the opportunity we have to manifest the grace and the love of Christ in the lives of other people. Because we're not supposed to work. Not supposed to do anything. They'll be okay. This is a rest from slavery. The point of the Sabbath is freedom from sin, freedom from bondage, freedom from those expectations that we have. Do we all have expectations this morning? Often unverbalized expectations. Freedom from control. We don't have to control everything. Believe it or not, we don't have to control everything. The Sabbath serves us. We don't serve the Sabbath. Will you say that with me this morning? The Sabbath serves us. We do not serve the Sabbath. It is a gift. And we do well to keep ourselves from making it a curse. What's completely crazy about all of this is that the woman here is set free. She doesn't initiate anything, right? She's just kind of there. She is set free without following any of the temple regulations, right? We don't see that she's brought a sacrifice. We don't see that she's come to confess or to repent of anything. She is simply present. And she is set free without having to go through anything. She has no hoops to jump through. She doesn't have to earn her freedom. She doesn't have to atone for anything. We simply have Jesus initiating healing. And that's what he wants to do today. For us, is to initiate that healing. We don't have to earn it, and that bothers us. Does that bother you? Giving people free stuff? They didn't earn it. Well, what have we honestly ever earned in our lives other than heartache, misery, a need to control everything? This demonstration of grace that Jesus shows here bothers us when it happens to others, but it doesn't bother us when we're the recipients of it, right? Why did God do that for that person? Why isn't he doing anything for me? But when he does it for us, man, we feel we deserve it. Whew. I rested on the Sabbath, God. I didn't do anything. I isolated myself perfectly. So now I deserve X, Y, Z, whatever it is you want to give. She doesn't ask for this healing. She doesn't fill out a form for this healing. She doesn't promise to do anything if she is healed. Yet she is set free. Praise be to God. And I ask us this morning, can we allow ourselves to accept her freedom in the hopes of accepting our own? If we can't accept what God is doing in her life, how can we ever expect to accept what Jesus wants to do in our own life? Right? Today I pray that we would allow God's grace to bend us out of shape, to get us all out of sorts, to move us and shake us in ways that are uncomfortable and that bother us. Because as that happens, we become more the image of Christ that is within us. I pray that we will not isolate ourselves any longer by adhering to what we think is the good or the right thing, but that we would be reminded that we are in community. One of the little things I noticed in the little bag that Annabella had is there was a whole community of princesses. It wasn't just one. It's a community of princesses. I'm not going to ask you to be a community of princesses because that would bother half of our congregation terribly. But can we be a community together? Can we allow Jesus to straighten us out as he does for this woman? I pray that we turn our shame over to Jesus. Notice what happens here at the end. This synagogue leader, this high holy person, is put to shame at Jesus' words. And the crowd rejoices. And the masses celebrate what God has done. They can see the miracle working where he cannot. And I wonder what we miss when we're bent out of shape. Let Jesus bear your shame this morning because it is bending you out of shape. It is ruining you. It is hurting you. Allow Jesus to free you, to straighten you up, to allow you to be set free. If you want to be free in Christ, know that he is here, ready to declare your goodness as he does in this woman's life and to lay hands on you as he does in this woman's life. May we be set free today because Christ sets us free. Amen. Gracious God, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for those uncomfortable times that move us beyond ourselves. Lord, we pray that the next time we are tempted to get bent out of shape, that you would straighten us up, that you would remind us that we are called to rest in you and not to rest in our own skills or our own understanding. May we trust in you as you so beautifully trust in us to do the work that you have called us to. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Faith. Anything that has been said or sung today has touched your heart.